How many of you enjoyed last week? Samson and the thoughts that he would give to us, man. The thought process, the logic behind this sermon is this series. In Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us about the heroes of the faith, those that stepped out. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, this happened. By faith, this happened. And so starting in chapter 12, it says this, and this is the foundation scripture for this series. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I like the way the Living Bible says it. It says it this way. It says, since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstand, let us strip off everything that slows us down or holds us back, especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Thinking this thought, if there's a cloud of witnesses and people that have done things before us and run the race and done well, how many of you know we should maybe take their advice? How many of you know the ones that have run the race and messed it up quite a bit? How many we should take the advice of a bad example, right? Heard one time somebody told somebody they were worthless. He's like, no, I'm not. I can be used as a bad example. My whole life can, right? We don't want to be used as a bad example, but how many of you know we can learn from the issues and the problems, and that example, the thing that we did wrong, can help us never be there again. So if we look at the scriptures and we think about them so I've told y'all this before, but when I was a kid, man, we used to drive from Florida, from Apopka to Joplin, Missouri, right? 24-hour trip with the kids, right? So we would go up there and we would come back. We would go for like a week, week and a half. So you talking about 48 hours in the car. Well, what my mom would do, like we didn't have cell phones and we played a lot of Pigs in Space. Some of y'all don't know what that is. It's okay. Nobody else does. We do. My brothers and sisters watching, or if my mom and dad, they know what that is. And anyway, we used to play dumb games in the car, but mom used to read in the car. I don't know how she did it. If I read in the car, I get like, oh, you know, messed up. I got to stop for a little bit. But she would read in the car, and she would read these books to us, man. We read all kind of like the Chronicles of Narnia and the Hobbit, and we had all these different things that she read on the way from here to there and going back. So as a kid, my imagination, I would close my eyes and I would see the picture. Like I would see it better than it could ever be on the TV screen. You know what I mean? No, better than they could ever make it in the movie. And so, unfortunately, I don't have the ability to read it myself and have that happen in my mind. Like I can't do both of them at once. So anyway, Audible books are great for me. Anyway, what I see when I hear this scripture is I see like a coliseum or like a sporting event, a high school sporting event where the stands are full and people are running the race and running and running and running. How many of you know our life is not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? Doesn't matter how good you do at the beginning. You got to pace yourself, and you got to make sure that you make it to the end, right? And that you do it at the end. If the people who ran, I never did. My brother ran cross country. I was like, what's the point? I don't want to. Just let me have a baseball diamond, and I'm good, you know? Anyway, he ran cross country. But what happened was is they would start off strong. They would pace themselves in the middle, and then they would finish strong. Problem is if they didn't pace themselves in the middle, they would burn out, and they might not ever make it to the finish line. So we got to think that thought when we're going through our lives, man. It's not a sprint, man. Take your time. Make sure that you're doing the right things and taking care of yourself along the way so that you're able to finish the race strong. Amen. But what I see is running the track, and there was a book that I read about this same principle that if I was running the race, and at that moment as I ran a lap, one of the men of faith or women of faith came down and paced beside me and talked to me and encouraged me, right? All this scripture is for our edification. It is to build us up, right? So if you read the scripture and you're being torn down, you're looking at it wrong. Okay? If you're reading the scripture and it's beating you up, you're looking at it wrong. Now, it might be the Holy Spirit prodding you a little bit, saying, hey, we need to change some things, but he don't beat you up. So if you're feeling that, we need to change perspective a little bit on it. But thinking that thought as they come down and they run beside you and they're explaining, hey, this is what I did. This is how I did it. This is how I made it through. It encouraged you, right? They overcame the blood of the Lamb by the, or they overcame the devil, not the blood of the Lamb. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What happened to us is good to help build up and edify other people, no matter how jacked up it was when we were in a situation. The thought process that we've come through it. And so the principle on this is if there's a great grandstand around us and the men and women of the faith who have gone before us are cheering us on and coming down and helping us and encourage us, what would they say to us from the scriptures? What does their story tell us? And so that's the purpose or the premise behind this are examples of how they could encourage us. Today we're going to talk about Joseph. Last week we talked about Samson. Remember, sometimes you can use a bad example. He was blinded to a whole lot of things before his eyes ever came out, right? He was spiritually blinded to what God was doing, to what his calling was, to what he was supposed to do. God still used him. God still helped him and helped him finish strong, right? We come now to Joseph, and what can we learn from him, man? I think if he would tell us his story, it's an amazing story. One of the things that we see about Joseph's life is everybody liked Joseph except his brothers. Everybody, oh, I ain't gonna say nothing. So to set his life up, man, we see he was a golden child. His father loved him. He was daddy's favorite, right? Because his dad had him late in life, he loved him more than he did the others. His brothers had coats that were one color. His coat had many colors. He made a special coat and gave it to him. Again, he was the golden child. His brothers didn't like him very much because his father always went to him instead of to them, right? Then one day he has a dream that God gave him. That's important. We're going to talk about dreams in a minute and following your dreams. Make sure the dreams that you're following are the ones that God gave you. Remember, good ideas, God ideas. They're different. They're different. His brothers didn't like the dream. They wanted to kill him because of it. So I think one of the things that Joseph would tell us to start off with today, number one in your notes, is that there will be some who won't believe in your dream. There will be some that won't appreciate what you're called to, right? And you see a lot of times there will be the response to the dream isn't really the dream. It's about what happens to them because of the dream. Does that make sense? Or it may be the fact that they didn't follow their dream and they're not walking in their dream, and so it is a sore spot or a bitter spot in their lives, right? There are going to be some people that don't understand your dream and why you're doing the things that you're doing. Don't allow that to hold you back. Don't allow that to hold you back. There are going to be people in your life that mean well, but because of how the dream affects their life, they're not going to support your dream. They're not going to help you with your dream. They're not going to like your dream. And again, people's response to your dream is often a response to their place in it and not the greatness of the dream, right? So in Genesis, we see chapter 37, verse 5 through 8. We already understand that his dad loved him more and that he favored him and that anyway. One of the things that we also see in here is that he did right and he made sure that other people were doing right too. Right? Because his brothers weren't doing what they were supposed to do, and he told on them. Hey, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. That was another reason why they didn't like him a whole lot. But one of the things that you see is that I'm getting ahead of myself. Genesis 37, 5 through 8. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in a field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood up, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaves. And his brothers said to him, are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. They're like, hey, are you seriously going to tell me you're going to be in charge of us? You're the youngest. How you going to come and do that? Again, understanding the culture, right? The youngest son's got nothing. It's the oldest son that got everything. Firstborn. So they're like, hold up. You are the youngest of all of us. How are we going to bow down to you? That's not going to happen. The pride. Do you see pride gets in the way of a lot of things? Pride gets in the way of a lot of things. Now, it would have been a different response if his dream would have had one of his elder brothers standing up and all of the other brothers and himself bowing down to them. See what I mean? The effect of the dream on the other people and what happens. If he was bowing down to his brothers, the brothers would have had a different response. Man, that's a really good dream. I like that dream. You're going to come and worship me. You're going to bow down to me. I'm going to be in charge of you. There will be some people that will not believe in your dream because of their place in the dream. Right? Where that puts them. And again, a lot of that comes from resentment or bitterness for them not walking in what God has called them to do. If I'm not going to walk in my dream, I'm going to keep you from walking in yours. So, I didn't have a dream really to do this, but I felt like it was what God was calling me to do. And when I went in 2001, it was January 2001, I went to go visit a friend of mine in Louisiana, right? His name's Chad. I grew up with him in Apopka. He got married, met a girl down here. When she was down at Disney, he met her. He moved up there, got married. They've been there about 5 years and married for 5 years. And I went up there to visit them. And when I got there, they had a family trip planned. I'm like, look, we have a family business. We're 2 weeks out from our trip. Why don't you stay these 2 weeks and then learn the business for the other 2 weeks and then run it while we're gone and then go back home. So that, because we could trust you to do it right. I'm like, all right, cool. So I stayed there and I did that and that was okay. But then I, in the process of doing that, I found God in my life. I gave my life to him. I was sitting on I told you all this story before, sitting on the couch trailer at my buddy's house, and he said, how do I get from where you're at to where I'm still at? And he said, give your life to Christ. That's what I did. He changed everything. He said, he'll do the same for you. And I gave my life to him right then, right? So most, with the exception of a couple of people, most people said, you're ridiculous for going up there. You got a good job down here. You got stuff going on, like all these friends that are there. And no one understood the fact that I wanted to go, that I felt like God wanted me to stay there, right? Now, my mom did. She saw it. She said, whatever you do, don't come home. It's not because she doesn't love me. She did love me. I'm her baby boy, right? She tells me, you're always going to be my baby boy. Okay, Ma, okay. Okay, Ma, I can hear you. Right? She's watching on there. Well, I just promise. Anyway, she's the only one that encouraged my dream, said, hey, no, man, if you come back here, you're going to be right back in the mess that you were in. Not that the people you were with were bad people. Not that they're evil, but they're going in a different direction than what God is trying to take you right now. You need to go. You need to do this thing. And by doing this thing, by leaving and by not listening to what other people had told me I should be doing, by following what I felt like God was telling me to do, look at how my life has changed, right? We had a friend of ours, and I think I said this before, but we had a friend of ours just not too long ago lost her mother. She was in our youth group in Apopka. And when my sister told her on the phone that I was now a preacher, she four or five times vehemently said, I know that ain't true, right? Like, ain't no way. He's a preacher, right? But look, that's the old me. That's the me that God called me to come away from, right? That's the dream that he gave me to say, hey, if you give me your life, the amazing things that can happen with it. Now, do I got issues and problems and trials? Yes, I do. I do. But I'm never alone in them. I'm never alone in them. Some people might look at what God has called you to do and say, man, that's a really bad idea. That's like not even part of your character. Like, you wouldn't be able to do those things. That's not God calling you to do that. Look, you don't even like doing that. You know what? Sometimes God calls you to do things you're not good at. Most of the times you're called to do things you're not good at. Why? Because it's not you doing it. It's God giving you the strength to be able to walk in it. Right? Look, all those people that were like, hey, man, I don't know about that. They weren't bad people. They're not bad people. But how did the dream affect them? Well, now you won't be a part of my life, or now this is going to happen, or I always wish that I would have stepped out and done something like that, but I didn't, and now look at where my life is at. That's a dumb idea. Don't do it, right? The next thing, like I said, that a lot of people will do is tell you how unqualified you are to do exactly what that dream that you're called to do is. And why you're not the right person to walk out in that dream, to walk that dream out in your life. And I think that's why I love this series about the heroes of the scripture, because in all the faith that these people had, they had massive flaws, every single one of them. But God still used them. God has a track record of using people with less than perfect past to do amazing things. And I want you to think that thought in your life. He has a record of, if you want, when you look at the character of how, what a person is, what do you look at? What they've done. The past of what they've said. Did they stand up to it? Were they truthful in what they did? Did they deal right with all the dealings that they did? Are they crooked in some areas? Right? You look back and you see this is who a person is, and you know them by their fruit. You're known by their fruit. If you look at the fruit of God in the lives of people and in your life, what's his track record? He has a habit of using jacked up people to do amazing things. God doesn't, this is one of the quotes that you get from this, is God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Right? He doesn't need to see how great you're going to do this thing, because he's going to do it through you. And he knows it's going to be amazing. He doesn't take a look at your talent. He's not impressed with a resume. He looks at your heart and your obedience level. Are you going to follow me? Are you going to step out in blind faith and do what I've asked you to do? Are you going to step out when it looks really, really hard and like you can't defeat anybody? Like you're just going to be destroyed in the midst of this. Are you willing to go ahead and step out anyway and say, God, I'm going to do this because you called me to do it? I love the old battles in the Old Testament where I can't remember where it's at right now, y'all. I'm drawing a blank. But there's a couple armies, and God calls them, and then the armies start fighting each other. Like they were going to gang up on God's people, and then they got mad, or something happened. God did, and they fought each other, and God's army didn't even do nothing; just stood there and watched. Right? God does amazing things when we're faithful. I love the Bible. I love His Word. One of the reasons why is because it's stories about imperfect people that God used to do amazing things. Did you know that Noah was a drunkard? Abraham thought he was too old. Sarah laughed at God's promises. Isaac was a liar. Jacob was a liar and a deceiver. Moses had a speech problem and questioned God's judgment in picking him, and he also was a murderer. Gideon was afraid. Samson, as we spoke about last week, was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was very depressed and suicidal. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while Jesus was praying and said, hey, be careful, watch that you don't fall into temptation. Martha worried too much. Saul, who became Paul, spent his life seeking that Christians would be murdered. This is who God used. I mean, I know a lot of y'all in here, and don't none of that match up with this. At least that I know of, right? Maybe you hide it well. I don't know. But this is the thing. Even if it is, God can use you. God can do amazing things. I have a kid
Not a kid anymore. He was in my youth group. He spent 2 years working with me at my business that I did as my helper. 2 years. And he had changed his life and he had done some things, but then he got in the wrong crowd and he got out and ended up and now is serving life in prison for murder, for hire, where he got paid $3,000 to kill somebody and to dispose of them. Do you know the last time I talked to him, do you know what he said? He said, "This is where I belong." He said, "I'm doing Bible studies. I'm growing in God. I can't function outside, but I can stand for him in here." And you say, "Well, that's messed up. That shouldn't be." Do you know what? The guys that are in there, they need somebody that's going to stand up and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how God can take messed up people, as we're talking about, and do amazing things with their lives. I'm sure when he was a kid, he didn't say, "Man, I want to grow up and go to prison so I can reach people for Jesus." That's not what he did. But he said, "I'm going to make the most of it while I'm here. I'm going to do what God's called me to do because I didn't do it there. I can do it here." Where are you at that God has called you to do something amazing for him? And are you doing it? Or are you frustrated that you're in a situation? Just a thought. The thing about God and about what his word says, he can take nothing and make something out of it. He can take broken things and make them whole again. He can use all of us. We all got issues, man. If you say you don't have any issues, we're going to altar call for lying in a little bit. We're going to have you come stand right front and center. That's why you have to believe what God has spoken to you. Now, just because you have a dream doesn't mean it's from God. Okay? We are so good at saying, "God, this is my dream. I want you to bless it." It's not how it works. Most of the time, I'm just going to be real. Most of the time, the dreams that God gives us are not where we want to see ourselves going. Look at Moses. He killed a man. He can't go in Pharaoh's court. Pharaoh's going to kill him. Where's God going to send him? Pharaoh's court. Like, you know, don't you have like a smaller menial task that I could do, God? Like just something a little less, you know, big and bold? Yeah. Don't you got a broom I could sweep the lobby out with or something, you know? Like, I don't know about that, right? All these people that he used, he gave them a dream. He gave them something to do and said, "Go do it." And the blind faith made him step out and do it. Because God takes imperfect people and he does amazing things with it. I'm going to tell you today, man, you can do whatever God called you to do. You can do it. Regardless of what you think, regardless of what other people think, you can do what God has called you to do. You need to do it. Well, how do I do it? Start small, man. Start small. And let God build it into something amazing and big. Amen? What did Moses have to do? He had to say, "Okay, God, I'm gonna leave the backside of the desert and I'm going to do what you called me to do. I'm gonna step out and I'm going to do this." Looking at Joseph, there's going to be some that don't believe in your dream. The next thing, number two. When life isn't turning out the way you planned, don't give up on your dream. Because Joseph tells you, "I was so excited about my dream. I thought other people would be excited as well. And then my dream took a detour. And I ended up in slavery." It didn't happen right away. Verse 37, verse 19 and 20. They said to one another, "Here comes the dreamer. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these pits. Then we will say a fierce animal devoured him and we will see what becomes of his dreams. Let's try and make his dream not come true. Let's do everything we can to stop his dream." Do you know if that's the... Sometimes we surround ourselves with people that are not wanting to see our dreams come to pass.
First of all, we need to get those people out of our lives, if at all possible. If at all possible. We talked about that last week, having a bad character corrupts good morals, right? The people we surround ourselves with. So I don't want to go too far into that one. But I do want us to see this. They plotted against him to keep his dream from coming true, but God sent somebody in the midst of them. Didn't talk to Joseph, talked to them. God always makes provision for you. For Joseph at this time is Reuben, his brother, right? One of his brothers, Reuben, said, let's don't kill him. So the other brothers decided to sell him instead. He was sold into slavery into Potiphar's house. So Joseph was a human traffic victim. It worked back then. It's still going strong today. Y'all pray for people. Pray for the people. We forget about that, man. This is not a political statement. This is just a statement. I wish we were more worried about posting numbers about human trafficking than we are about the things that we're posting about. I wish we would focus more on the things that God's heart breaks for than the stuff that we're upset. Starving kids, starving people all over the world. Let's put our focus on those things. Anyway, they didn't at all like his dream. So Joseph is 17 years old at this time when they sell him into slavery. And remember, our point that we're talking about right now is when life isn't turning out the way you plan, don't give up on your dream. But it didn't come to pass, his dream didn't come to pass until he was in his late 30s. So almost 20 years from the time the dream was given to the time it came to fruition. Do you know, sometimes God doesn't show you where you're going because you'll mess it up trying to get there. But sometimes he shows you where you're going so you don't give up before you get there. Right? So you don't allow the pain or the problems or the struggles or the areas that you see that aren't what you're supposed to be going through in your mind. Right? So you don't give up. His dream took a detour. Again, why did he deliver his dream so early? It was maybe God showed Joseph he was going where he was going to be at the end in the beginning because he knew he needed it to make it to the end, to make it through the middle. He needed to know the end to make it through the middle. It's like you could liken it to childbirth. Think about that thought, right? A mom in the middle. Like moms in the middle of childbirth, you were like, I quit. I give up. I don't want to do this no more, right? But you didn't. Why? One, because it's natural, it was going to happen. But number two, why? Because you were looking to the good that was going to come after the pain, right? There was so much pain associated with it in the middle of it. Man, you all looked at your husband. Some of y'all said, you did this to me. Some of you looked at him like, I'm going to get you back for this, right? There's all kinds of stuff happens in those maternity rooms. But at the end, all that is overlooked. And it's forgotten about. Why? Because of the gift that was been given. The end result of it. One of the things that I want to tell you, talking about babies, the bigger the dream, the longer the process is, the birthing process. I'm going to give you guys some zoology, right? I'm going to let y'all know about some animals. Did you know that the gestation period time from conception until birth in the pregnancy, for a mouse, it is 19 to 21 days. 19 to 21 days. They carry the little babies and then they let them run free, all of them, right? All over where we don't want them. No. For an elephant, do you know that the gestation period is 22 months?
So one of the things that I want us to take from that and look at that, because, you know, we can get, like I said, physical and spiritual principles and properties, they work. The bigger the dream, the longer it might take to come to fruition. Right? When life isn't turning out the way that you planned, don't give up on your dream. Don't give up and say, well, it's not happening like I wanted to. It's not happening. So I'm going to use a secular thing. This has nothing to do with it. I'm not endorsing this movie. But do you know one of the largest movies right now, it's number one in 90 countries, is a movie that the man tried to bring out for 10 years, went nearly bankrupt trying to do, and today, right now, is the number one movie. It's called Squid Games, right? I'm not endorsing the movie. I'm just telling you, right? It's not a good movie, but this is the principle behind it. He didn't give up on the dream that he had, even when he almost lost everything. He still kept his dream. Let me tell you something. If a dream that doesn't come from God can bring that much at the end of it, imagine what a dream from God can do. Right? How much more not giving up in the middle of the process and going through it and working through it and saying, this is difficult, I don't want to do it. Do you know what? He could have been a slave. It's like, look, I'm here, I'm a slave. God, your dream was jacked up. It's not going to happen, so I'm just going to do whatever I do. He didn't do that. What did he do? He said, wherever I'm at, I'm going to do everything I can to the best of my ability, and I'm going to give glory to God for doing it. And what ended up happening? He got promoted. He wasn't the lowest servant in Potiphar's house. He was in charge of Potiphar's house. The only other person in Potiphar's house that was more impressive and more important than he was Potiphar. It was his house. He didn't give up. He didn't say, my situation is horrible. I ain't doing nothing. I'm just going to be here and mope about it. No, he did everything he could to the best of his ability. He was promoted up. God gave him favor. Some of you guys are in the middle of something right now, and you're at the bottom of the barrel, feeling like you've been, like Joseph, sold into something. It's not where you want to be. It's not where your dreams should be. It's not what you want to be doing, and you're about ready to give up. Man, don't give up. Do everything that you can for the glory of God, and watch what God does with the situation. I bet it wasn't enjoyable for Joseph when he was in the pit, being betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. He probably had some give up moments. He probably had some I'm done moments. Maybe this wasn't God's dream. Maybe I missed it. How many of you have ever thought that thought? Maybe I missed it. Maybe I missed it because it was difficult. Maybe your prayer was, God, where are you at in all of this? Doesn't seem like you. You wouldn't put me through all of this. There's all this heartache, all this pain, all this abuse so that your dream could be fulfilled in my life. We think those thoughts. But think about these two Bible verses I'm going to give to you right now. They come in the scripture. It says, James 1, 2 through 4, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. We want to be perfect. We want to be complete. We want to be lacking nothing, but we don't want to go through the trials and the tribulations that puts us in that place. That brings that about. Then you look at 1 Peter 1:7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith. That means your faith has to be tested. That means it has to be tested. More precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that the issue and the pain that I'm going through right now isn't for nothing. It gives glory to God. Do you know what? If you quit in the middle of it, it doesn't give glory to God. You went through the pain needlessly. Think that thought. You went through it needlessly. You didn't need to go through all that. You didn't need to have all that pain. If God doesn't get the glory out of what's going on in your life, It's not fun to go through trials. I don't want to go through trials. Trials hurt. They're not fun. They hurt inside. That's much worse than hurting outside. I'm just going to be real, in my opinion. We need to change our prayer from God, remove this trial, to God, what are you teaching me in this trial? God, what can I take from this mess so that I can glorify you with it? What are you showing me? What way are you trying to mold me right now? What are you trying to make me into, change me into? What are you wanting me to be? And how can I do it? That should be our prayer in the middle of our trials. Not, God, get me out of here. Now, look, sometimes there's some God help prayers, right? And that's all we pray. But sometimes we're in the middle of stuff, and God's trying to show us something, and we're just saying, let me out of it. I don't want to. Have you ever tried to teach your kids something, and they were not worried about listening to what you had to say? They just wanted to get out of the situation, and they would say whatever it meant, whatever it took, just to get them through it, right? Wonder how God listens to you when you do it, huh? Just a thought. What are you trying to teach me? So Joseph would tell us, when life isn't turning out the way you plan, don't give up on your dream. The next thing that we learn from him in here is run from sin at all costs. Don't flirt with it. Don't entertain it. Don't think you can handle it. Do you know what the problem with society is today, while we're where we're at today, is because we didn't stand up and we said a little's okay. A little nudity in a movie's okay. It's all right. Now you can't turn on a TV without seeing stuff go through on regular TV. Right? Oh, a little wacky weed is not that big a deal. It's okay. Just touch drugs a little bit. It's right. It's just a little one. It's not, doesn't matter anything. Do you know what? The little ones got me in the big ones. That's what the little ones got me. I'm just going to be real. And it was a battle to get rid of it. But God did it. But do you know what? Had I never said, okay, just a little, I never would have been there. Do you know what? It's just a crescent wrench from work. They're not going to miss it. They got a bunch of them. They got a whole tool shed full of them, man. If I just take one, it ain't going to be no big deal. Little bit. Do you know what? It's just a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and we're just friends. Stop. There's nothing going on. It's just she needs somebody to talk to, and I need somebody to talk to. That's all it is. Do you know what? Run from it. Don't flirt with it. Don't entertain it. Don't think you can handle it. Run from it. Genesis chapter 39, verse 10 through 12. And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, and he would not listen to her, to lay beside her or to be with her. But one day when he went into the house to do all his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house. Now, I'm going to stop. Accountability. That's another message for another day. But this is what we see, a lack of accountability right here. Do you know that's important in your life, to have accountability? But one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lay with me." But he left his garment in her hand, and he fled the house and got out of the house. Joseph knew that it was a trap. He knew that he needed to stay away from it. He knew that he needed to not be a part of it. And what did he end up doing when he was there and it confronted him? Took off. Do you know what? We need to do some running. We need to take off from some stuff in our life, metaphorically, right? Maybe physically. Maybe you need to remove yourself from those situations. Because if you give an inch, sin will take a foot. Even though he did the right thing, we see in this situation, even though he did the right thing, he gets put in jail. Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of taking advantage of her. It never happened, but Potiphar believes him, and so they throw him into prison. Do you know what? Had he not gone into that place when there was no accountability there, if he had removed himself from it and run from it, he never would have been into the prison. Now, you can think this thought too. If he didn't do what was right, he never would have found himself in the position that God wanted to put him in to set him up to do his dream. That was long and maybe confusing. Maybe I'll shorten it down a little bit. If he didn't end up in prison, he would have never told the dreams, interpreted the dreams, and it never would have put him in a position so that he could be the ruler and be the one that everyone bowed down to in a situation. Right? If he gave in to the sin, it may have stopped everything. He may have stayed in Potiphar's house forever and not been able to do what God had called him to do. Sometimes we allow sin into our lives and don't think about the thought process of how is this going to harm the ministry God has for me, even if it's little. Remember, little ends up being big. Run from sin. Run from sin. Which points us in to number four. God was always with him. God is always with me. In the pit, he was there. In Potiphar's house, he was there. In the prison, he was there. God was always with him. Genesis 39, 20 through 23 says this, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keepers of the prison. Excuse me. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever was done there, it was the one who he was the one who did it. So anything that happened in the prison, he was the one that said, okay, it's okay for that to happen. So we see again him not being like, well, I'm in jail, I'm in prison, this is horrible, this can't be God's dream, I quit. No. Does God show favor to people who quit? Think that thought. Think that thought. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Do you know what? If you're put in a position that you're not happy with and that you don't like, don't pray God to take you out of it. Pray God show you how to do the be the best at it and have him promote you out of it. So my favorite job, I think, that I've ever had, man. I built back braces for patients with scoliosis at a clinic called STARS in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we would bring people in and their deformities of their backs would be so. We had one little girl came in with a 108-degree curve in her back, in her spine, right? He's like, that's ridiculous. It couldn't happen. I was there. I saw it. We had people that came in. And they would come in, and they were there for a week, and we would take a cast, a plaster bust of them from here to here and take all their measurements, and we would go in the back, and we would take the deformed shape, and we would move everything around with dental plasters, how we made it, and we would make their body's shape with the same measurements, and we would pull the brace out of it so that they would put them in there, and when they would, it would make their body shift, and they would wear it all but like 30 minutes of a day. So they wear it when they sleep, they wear it when they wore it all the time. Like to take a bath was pretty much it. And then they put it back on. And we would see the change that would happen in there. But I was there and I loved doing that job. And I was low man on the totem pole, and then another guy came in. And this person, the person that ran the lab, quit. And they put this other person in charge that had, I'm not going to go into big details, but he had completely different morals, completely different thought process about life and about what needed to be and about how to live life, right? And he made life miserable on me because of my stance of Christ, of God, of what I stood for. And I for the first week and a half, I was like, I love this job, man, but I can't do it with this guy here. And my dad, I told you guys, my dad's wise. He said, you know what, pray about it. God will take care of it. So, you know, I start praying about it. Do you know sometimes when people get put in a position of authority, they think their authority is way bigger than what it ever is? And this one day, the doctor came in. The doctor came in and said something to him, and he popped back because he was in charge of everything. And the doctor looked at me like, come again? Like, what was that? They fired him on the spot. He's like, you know what? Get your stuff. You're gone. Because the guy kept giving him attitude. The doctor's like, you're gone. Hey, you're in charge now. And I was running the lab. I was the one in charge. Right. Why? Not because I'm good and I'm the best thing ever, but I looked to God and I said, God, I'm in a situation. I don't understand it. I don't like it. Help with this situation. Show me what to do. And you know what my point, my part in doing was at that time? To do everything to the best of my ability so this guy didn't have a finger to point at me. But do you know what the doctor saw? A person who was going to do their best and did good work and didn't worry about other people and did what was supposed to be done as good or better than anybody else. So when the time came, what happened? He promoted me. Do you know what I could have been mad at? Well, he's being a jerk. I'm going to do the least I got to do. I'm going to this and I'm going to do that. Do you know what? I never would have been put in that position. Sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot for the plan that God wants to have happen in our lives. It's not God's plan change, it's that we don't follow it out. Joseph's focus Joseph's focus was on what was happening inside of him, not what's happening to him. Right? That's why some people can go through the same thing that you're going through and they're not affected of it and you're just destroyed by it. Because their perspective's a little bit different on it. Not making light of your situation or saying your situation isn't worthy of being upset or frustrated with. I'm not saying that. But the perspective with which you handle it and the way you handle it does one of two things. Either keeps you in your situation, gives glory to God in it. Which God brings deliverance. God brings freedom. Amen? It's not the situation, it's how we handle it. Joseph had this confidence that God was with him wherever he was. Psalms chapter 139, verse 8 through 10. This is what we need to see. It says, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. It's comforting to know that no matter where we are at, God is with us. Always. And even though we don't see him working, even though we don't see him doing certain things, doesn't mean that he's not. This is the one cool thing I'm going to tell you. You can never escape the love of God. He always loves you, no matter where you're at. No matter where you were at in your life, he always loved you. That's why he sent his son. But like, they're too bad. He can't love them. Man, look, it says, for God so loved the world, which is evil, which is corrupt, which is not a good place for the most part. Amen? But he loved them enough to send forgiveness, freedom. In prison, God's favor was still on him, and he became the second in command. From there, he interpreted some dreams for two of the leaders of the house of Pharaoh who had been put in prison. The dreams are funny. Y'all got to go see them. Y'all got to read that part of it. If you don't know what they are, I'm not going to tell you. Just go. The cupbearer and the baker. Didn't work out for the baker. From there, he was called to Pharaoh's house to interpret the dream. Egypt was going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Joseph said, we need to store up food during the good years, and then we'll have it for in the bad years. Through that, God used Joseph to save a nation that would save the people of Israel. So God used Joseph to save the enemy of Israel to make it a provision for Israel. Joseph became second in command to Pharaoh, and then his dream became to pass. His father, his mother, and his brothers all bowed down to him because they needed food. They had come from Egypt. Joseph was in control of the food, which leads us to our next point, the last point. What seemed like a setback was really a setup. What seemed like a setback, what seemed like, God, how is this possible? Don't you see I'm supposed to be going forward and we're supposed to be doing this and we're victorious in all these things. You know what? You are victorious even when you're in a bad situation. You can even remember that. But it wasn't a setback. It seemed like it. Most people would have saw it as a setback, being sold into slavery. Well, I'm never going to get to be in charge now. I quit. I'm in prison. Well, it was set by God. God was opening the doors of opportunity for Joseph to be able to walk through them. And we would look at it as a setback. Think that thought. Instead of seeing the things that come, the negative things, instead of seeing losing the job or being let go from something as a bad thing, oh no, what's going to happen to me now? Well, God's got you. He's going to open up a door of opportunity. That's what his word says. Are you his children? Do you follow him? Do you love him? Don't be upset. Oh no, where am I going to get my food from? Well, Scripture said God's our provider, not man, not a job, not a government. God, he's the one that takes care of us. Look to him. Look to him. Because this is the thing. Once you get to the end, you'll understand the middle. Once you get to the other side, you'll understand what you had to go through to get to there. You'll see. You'll see what God did to strengthen you, to build your character, to make you really hard in some areas and soft in some others, so that when the time comes, you use the right one. The palace was a place of power, was his dream. Would have never happened without the pit and without the prison. He had never got to the palace without those things. Never. And so you think back of him like, what was the purpose for the pit? The purpose, what was the purpose for the prison? What was the purpose for all these things? It was lining him up and getting him ready. Do you know what running Potiphar's house did? Showed him how things run and made him not just be a son in a house where servants and people took care of him, but it made him the one that said, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. We need to take care of this like this. We need to have this kind of provision. We need to see how this runs. How are you going to run a government? You can't run a household. How are you going to do... How are you going to run God's plan if you don't take care of your other stuff too, right? God was showing him how to do things so that when the door was opened up, he had the abilities that he needed to do it. God gave him those abilities. How did he do it? By putting him in the prison, by putting him in Potiphar's house. It was God's plan to get him where he needed to be. Watch this in this passage, his heart of forgiveness and how he sees the big picture now that he's at the end of it. I'm sure probably after the first little bit, he was probably pretty bitter towards his brothers. And if he had his way, he'd have probably got them back. Right? Do you know what? That would have never allowed him to have the promises God had for him. Genesis chapter 50, when Joseph's brothers saw their father was dead, they said, maybe that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all of the evil we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sins because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgressions of your servant of God, of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him, and his brothers also came and fell down before him. Behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. What you meant for evil, God used for good. Not just for me, but for many. Do you know what? There's stuff going on in your life right now that you're not happy with, or maybe that you've just come through, or that you're about to go through. And when you're in the middle of it, you're going to be like, this can't be God. I don't understand how, why, what's going on. And it may be God getting you ready for some amazing things that he wants to do in your life. And without this, you're not going to be ready for that. Think that thought, man. Instead of thinking this is a setback, how is this happening? Why me, God? Let's look at it and say, God, how is this going to make me into who you want me to be and allow me to do the ministry that you've called me to do? God used the pain of all of it, all of the disappointment. He used it. Again, what seems like a setback was really a setup.
Today, man, you might be going through some stuff. You might be in the pit today or maybe in the prison. One thing I want to encourage you is that God is with you in the midst of all of this, and you're not by yourself. Don't allow that lie of the enemy to come into your life. He's with you. He's going to walk you through this, and he's going to do something amazing out of it. He's going to bring something amazing out of it. But the best is yet to come. This is what I want you to do. I want you to embrace where you're at right now and say, God, I may not like it, but I want to get everything you have for me in this situation. What can I learn? Show me in your word. Show me in your principles. Because God can bring good out of every situation. It's Romans 8:28. And we know, we don't think, we don't hope. It says we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. The Amplified Bible says it like this. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and to his purpose. God is always doing more than we can see. He's always doing more than we can see. Even when we don't see it, he's doing something amazing. So if Joseph was with us today hanging out, what would he say? There's going to be some people that's not going to believe in your dream. Don't let it stop them. Don't let it stop you. Keep going in it. When life isn't turning out the way you planned, don't give up on your dream. Keep going in the midst of the bad times, in the midst of the things that you don't understand. Run from sin at all costs. Don't allow sin to take away what God has for you. God was always with him and will always be with you. And what seemed like a setback is really a setup. Think those thoughts. Do you know what? The perspective on how you go into situations changes everything. You go into the situation with the victim mentality, you're going to be the victim. You go into the situation that God has given me the victory and that I'm victorious, you're going to have a whole different outlook on what you're going through at that time. Don't allow your perspective to come off of God and what he's doing. Amen. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Aaron, come on back up, man. We're going to stop. Today, some of you guys are in the pit. Today, some of you guys are in the prison. You're not understanding why or what's going on. And sometimes some of you are starting to lose hope. I want to encourage you today. And I want us to go to God today with those issues and those problems. I want us to look to him. You want God to change some things in your life. Nah, let me say that. That was wrong. You want God to change you in some situations in your life. I want you to raise your hand. That's about all. I just want you to put them up. God, I need you to change me in this situation. I need you to change my perspective. I need you to allow me to see you. Holy Spirit, I need to feel your presence in my life and that I'm walking through what you have for me. I want to see you in all these situations today. God, as our hands are raised, whether we're here or whether we're watching online or later on the website, God, I know that you are in control. And I know that the situations that we're in, whether we put ourselves in those situations or not, whether just part of the plan, Father God, for our lives, you are in control. And we want to glorify you with everything. We want to be able to use these tests for testimonies. As I said last week, we want to see the message that's going to come out of this mess that we're in, Father God. And I ask now that you would give us peace in our hearts, that you would calm our spirits, so that we can look to you, so that we don't get anxious or frustrated or even angry at the process, Father, but help us learn in that process. And I thank you that you love us, that you have a plan and a purpose for each of us. And then even if it's going to take 20 years, you're going to see these dreams come to pass. Help us not get lost in the 20 years, Father God. Help us not give up. Help us look towards you and see
the goodness of your plan and how good you are to us. In Jesus' name. I want to give you also an opportunity today, man. Maybe your life's not right with Christ. Maybe you've been running. Maybe you've been doing things you shouldn't be doing. Maybe you've walked away from Him. Maybe you'd allow your focus to bring you more towards the world than it is to God. And today, you want to make your life right with Him. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to just put your hand up. Say, that's me. I need to give my life back to Him. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? I want us all to say this prayer together. Say, dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You gave your Son so that I could have forgiveness, so that I could have freedom, so that I could be a part of your family, so that I could be in your presence. I accept that gift now. Help me change, Holy Spirit. Help me do what I should do. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Look at somebody next to you. Tell them, I'm glad you're here. God's with you, and we're going to get through this. All right, stand to your feet. We're going to sing a song.